Shalom to all! On today's Afyom Mishnah, we're going to be learning Masechet Chulin from Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel all the way through Perek Beis Mishnah Daled.
And we discuss the Shechita, Hashechet Magal Yad, Betzar, Ubekane, Shechita Zakshera. If somebody shechs with a Magal Yad, which is a hand sickle, with a Tsar, that's a rock, or Kane, which is a reed, his Shechita is kosher. Now that means that Lechatchila one should not do this. Why is that? Well, because a Magal Yad, a hand sickle, has two sides. It has a serrated side, which is definitely not kosher for Shechita, and it has a smooth side, which is. And Lechatchila one shouldn't shecht with a smooth side because maybe he's going to accidentally use the non smooth, the serrated side. But if he did use the smooth side, it's okay, it's kosher. And it's Tsar and Kane, the reason why the Chatchila one should not use them is because we're talking about where it was detached from the ground, sharpened into a nice, good, solid knife, and then reattached to the ground. So if it was completely detached from the ground, no problem, you could use the Chatchila. But the fact that he reattached it to the ground makes it too similar to the way that it originally was when it was originally attached to the ground. And if it was used before it was ever detached from the ground, it's not kosher Shechita. So now that it was reattached to the ground, he also shouldn't use the Chatchila. But again, b'dieved, if he did use it, it's kosher. The mission continues. Hakol shechtin, everyone could shecht. Ulaylam shechtin, they could shecht in all situations. Ubakol shechtin, they could shecht with everything. So let's just explain these three terms. Hakol shechtin, everyone could shecht, is coming to include a Yisrael who's a mummer ladavar echad, or even for many things, which means he does an avera or multiple averas because it's geshmak, it's easy for him. He's not interested in not doing this avera. He's not doing a lahaches. He's not trying to get Hashem or to be spiteful. Let's say it has to do with eating non-kosher meat. He eats non-kosher meat just because it's cheaper and it's more available. But if somebody offered him kosher meat, he would eat it instead of on kosher, so he's allowed to shecht as long as a Yisrael kosher checks the knife before and afterwards, everything's okay. When we say la'olam shechtin, that means we're allowed to shecht at night, we're even allowed to shecht at the top of a building or at the top of a ship, and we don't have to suspect that the person who's shechting is trying to do it for some sort of god or idol, that's okay. Last thing we say about kol shechtin, we could shecht with anything, it means it doesn't have to be with a knife, it could be with any sharp implement that's smooth and sharp and will do a great cutting job, that can be used for shechita. Chutz mimagel katzir, except for a harvesting sickle, that's because its edge is serrated. And it tears the simonim, it doesn't cut them. Vamagera, this is a knife which is serrated. The difference between these two serrations are that a magal katzir has curved serrations facing inwards, whereas a megera just has straight up and down serrations, but either which way, it's not a smooth cut. Vahashinaim and teeth, meaning taking the jaw of an animal that has teeth in it and the teeth are very sharp, maybe like from a great white shark or something like that, and using that for shechita, that's not kosher. Vahatzipiren, and a nail, as in a nail attached to the body, that's also not valid. Why? Because they choke the animal. In other words, they tear the simanim and they don't actually slice them nice and smooth. Now we have machlekes regarding this first tool that we mentioned. Hashreichet magal katzir b'derech halichasa. If someone shechts with this harvesting sickle in its way of going, as we had said, this magal katzir has serrations that are curved inwards, curved towards the handle of the knife. B'derech halichasa is pushing the knife outwards, so actually it's smooth because the serrations only catch on the way back. And so let's say a person shechted only pushing the knife outwards, and so really it's a smooth cut. Beishayim Paisim Paishayim says it's possible, or Beisel Machshir, Beisel says it's kosher b'diaved. And last of him, Michliku Shineha, if he smoothed out its teeth, which means he sanded it down and he made it nice and smooth so it doesn't have serrations, so Harei Kesak, and it's just like a regular knife and it could be used no problem. Moving on to Mishnah Gimel. Now, in the introduction to the Masechta, we very briefly mentioned that there's five psulim during Shechita, and here we're going to be discussing one of them, which is Hagrama. Literally, that means tilting, or going beyond the area allowed. As mentioned, kosher Shechita is cutting the majority of the two simanim, the kun and the vesh. It, trachea and esophagus, or perhaps more commonly known, the windpipe and food pipe of the animal. And the entire area that we call the neck isn't necessarily kosher for shechita. There's a certain limited area on the animal's neck which is kosher for shechita. Now, the main focus of this Mishnah is the kane, the windpipe. And you can feel for yourself on your own neck that there's rings of hard cartilage connected by thin pieces of skin. Now, the highest one, closest to the head, is the boundary for shechita. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Hashechem yitaychat habas, someone who shechts within the ring, within this piece of cartilage, so he's still within his boundary. And he leaves even a hair's breadth across the entire width of it, meaning he shechted really, really, really close to the edge. He was so close, he almost went out of bounds, but he didn't. He left a hair's breadth of that uppermost piece of cartilage and didn't sneak out of it at all with the knife. Shechitas ekshera, the shechitas kosher. However, if even a little bit of his knife went out of it, that passes the shechita. However, he says, no, as long as there's a hair's breadth across the majority of the uppermost piece of cartilage in which he kept the knife within the required area, even if at the end he tilted the knife a little out of the area, not a problem, the shechita is still kosher. How we can discuss the proper place of shechita, Mishnah Dalet says, Hashechem Yatzdadin, someone who shechts the animal from the side of the neck, shechita's like shera, it's perfectly fine shechita, and not only is it perfectly fine, it's actually 100% lechatchila. That's a great way to shecht. However, now we contrast this to something else. We know that by bird karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, shechita is not done with a knife. Something unique called melika is done. The kohen holds the bird in very complicated position. position, and he cuts the back of the neck with his fingernail. And so now we bring that into discussion. Hamoilik minat stadin, if he does malika from the side of the bird's neck, malikas epsula, that malika is pasul. As we had just said, it has to be done from the back of the neck. Now, going back to shchita, hashoichet min ha'oiref, if somebody shechts from the back of the neck, he takes his knife, he cuts through the back of the neck, the mafrekes, which is like the bone or cartilage in the back of the neck, and it keeps on cutting until he hits the simanim, shchitas epsula, that shchita is pasul, because he already basically killed the animal, he made an avela before he got to the simanim. However, hamoilik min ha'oiref, one who does malika to a bird in the base of mikdash from the back of the neck, malikas ha'ksheira, as malika's kasher, not only is it kasher, but that's the lechatchila way to do it. We now continue mentioning other scenarios, even though we already know this. Hashreichet min ha'tzavar, one who shechts from the neck, shechitas ha'ksheira, that shechitas kasher, was hamoilik min ha'tzavar, who does malika from the neck, malikas ha'psula, is malika's pasul. Shekala ha'oiref kasher malika, the entire back of the neck is kasher for malika, v'chal ha'tzavar kasher l'shechita, and the entire front of the neck is kasher for shechita. Nimtza, turns out, kasher b'shechita, pasul b'malika. That which is kasher for shechita is pasul by malika, and kasher b'malika, pasul b'shechita. Whatever's kasher by malika is pasul for shechita. Now, moving right into Mishnah Hay, we're taking a little bit of a pause discussing hilchas shechita. We're going to have a few more cases regarding that which is kasher by this is pasul by that, and that which is kasher by that is pasul by this. So Mishnah Hay tells us kasher b'tayrin, pasul b'nei yaina. Kasher b'nei yaina, pasul b'tayrin. These are two different birds that are brought as karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. Atar is often translated as a turtle dove, and that has to be brought when it's a little bit older. And a ben yaina is like a pigeon or a dove, and that's brought when it's younger. That's why it's called a ben yaina. So if this is kasher to be brought as a tar, which means it's older, so if it's a ben yaina, it's pasul because it's too old. It has to be younger. And if it's kasher to be brought as a ben yaina because it's young, it's not to be brought as a tar because it's too old. And tchilas hatsihov baze o baze, pasul. In either of these birds, a tar ben yaina, when the neck feathers start becoming this like golden yellow color, so they're pasul to be brought both as a tar and a ben yaina because it's too old to be a ben yaina and it's too young to be a tar. Now, two mishnayos ago, we contrasted din of shechita by an animal or a bird versus malika, which is what's done to a bird in the Beis HaMikdash. From there, we went on to list a number of other things in which we have two things that are similar yet different. So, continue this. Mishnah Vav says, kasher b'para, pasul b'egla, kasher b'egla, pasul b'para. That which is kasher by a para, which is referring to para aduma, is pasul by egla, which is egla rufa, and that which is kasher by egla is pasul by a para. What's this referring to? So, the para aduma, the red cow, the red heifer, is shechted and further processed in order to be metahir people who became tamei mace, and that must be shechted like a regular animal, as opposed to an egla rufa, which, as is literally translated, the back of the neck is chopped with an axe. So shechita, which is kasher by para, is pasul by egla, and that which is kasher by egla, which is chopping the back of the neck, is pasul by para. On to another thing, kasher by kayhanim, pasul by alvim, kasher by alvim, pasul by kayhanim. That which is kasher by kayhanim, namely that there's no age limit of a kayhan, as long as he's able to do avoda, he continues doing avoda. That's pasul with levim. Levim were only allowed to sing in the Beis HaMikdash up until a certain age. Kasher by levim, namely if they have a mum, if they have a blemish that doesn't pasul them from doing avoda, that's pasul by kayhanim. If they have a mum, they're not allowed to do avoda. Tahara. The next two dinim have to do with tumah and tahara of kalim. Pasuk delineates seven different types of kalim, of vessels that can become tameh. And so here we have certain differences. Tar b'kli charis, tameh b'kala kalim. Tar b'chala kalim, tameh b'kli charis. With kli charis, earthenware vessels, that which is tar by them, namely, if something tameh, for example, dead sheretz, touches the outside of the kli, this earthenware kli, this kli charis, is not tameh. That is tameh by all other kalim. If it's a metal or wood kli or something like that, if tumah touches the outside, the entire thing is tameh. And that which is tar by all kalim is tameh by kli charis. If tumah is dangled on the inside of the kli, it's just in the airspace, but it's not actually touching the kli. It's not metame the kli, but it is metame by kli charis. On the second din, tar b'chle eitz, tameh b'chle matchos, that which is tar with wooden kalim is tameh with metal kalim, and tar b'chle matchos, that which is tar by metal kalim, tameh b'chle eitz, is tameh with wooden kalim. When it comes to wooden kalim, we know that pshute kli eitz, flat wooden kalim, for example, a flat spatula, it's just a flat piece of wood, that is not tameh because it doesn't have a base kibul, it doesn't have a place to hold something, there's no groove or depression made in it, it's just literally a flat piece, so that's tahar. But a metal keli, even if it's flat, it's tameh. That which is tar by kli matachos, a non-finished kli, that's tameh by wooden kli. If we have a wood bowl, for example, that he started carving out, even if it's not finished, as long as the depression was made and it could technically hold something, it still is able to be makabel toma. And lastly for this mishnah, hachay b'shkidim amarim, pater b'mtukim, that which is chay with bitter almonds, is pater sweet ones, chay b'msukim, pater marim, if it's chay with sweet ones, it's pater with bitter ones. This refers to two different types of almonds. One, when they're fully grown, they're large, they're very bitter and they can't be eaten. And the other one is the opposite. When it's fully grown, it's sweet and could be eaten. So these bitter almonds are usually eaten when they're small because they're still sweet. And it's in that stage that they're chayv and meiser. Once they become big, they're bitter, so they're not chayv and meiser. And that's what we mean by chayv b'shkedim hamarim. When they're small and they're sweet, they're chayv and meiser. So that very same stage by the sweet almonds is pater potter from Meiser, because sweet almonds when they're small are not usually eaten, so they're not chayvin Meiser, and sweet almonds when they are chayvin Meiser, namely when they're full size, if you have the same size bitter almond, which is large and it's not edible, so it's not chayvin Meiser. Now we move on to Mishnah Zion with similar dinim, just we're going to be talking about one thing, one item, that within that one item itself, we're able to differentiate in different stages, that sometimes is this din, sometimes is that din. So the Mishnah begins with Hatemed. Temed is usually translated as mead, M-E-A-D, and there's an alcoholic beverage of sorts, often made with honey. However, this one we're discussing here is some sort of wine drink. Basically, they take all the leftover grape stuff from making wine, they soak it or steep it in water, and eventually it ferments into some sort of wine-tasting drink. So the Mishnah says, Achaloi Hechmet, before it fully ferments and it gets this full taste, it's actually considered water and doesn't have a din of wine, and therefore, Eino Nikach Pekas of Meiser, it's not allowed to be bought with money of Meiser Sheni, due to the fact that water and salt are the two things that are not allowed to be purchased with Meiser Sheni money, and also Paisalas a Mikvah, it possles, it ruins a Mikvah. We know that a Mikvah has to be 40 Sa'ah of regular rainwater, let's say. It can't be Mayim Sheuvim, it can't be water drawn from a tap. And if it's not 40 Sa'ah yet, if we're still waiting for it to rain some more, and it's less than 40 Sa'ah, and then 3 Sa'ah of Mayim Sheuvim, 3 Sa'ah of Pasal water falls in, that possles the entire Mikvah. And that's what we're saying, this Temed, before it's Machmitz, before it's fully developed into this wine-tasting drink, it's considered like water and it will possel a Mikvah. However, Misha Hechmitz, once it does fully develop into this wine-tasting drink, Nikach Lekas of Meiser, it is allowed to be bought with money of Meiser Sheni, because it's considered like wine, Vein Apaisel Sa Mikvah, and doesn't possel a Mikvah. On to the next din, and this has to do with two separate things, Meiser Behema and Machsa Shekel. Meiser Behema requires a person to take all the brand new animals born to them that year, count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the 10th one is given Meiser as a carbon. Now, if we have partners who own animals, they do not have to give Meiser Behema. Onto the Machsa Shekel din, we know that every single year, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, everyone has to give Machsa Shekel, half of a shekel, and that's meant to purchase Karbonus Sibur, all the Karbonus that are brought for everybody, such as the Karbon Tamid every single day, and Karbonus Musafim of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, just as an example. And if a person brings a coin of a large denomination, he has to add something which is called a Kolbein, which is like a smaller coin. That's Machlekes what it's for, but the general idea is that it's basically for the processing fees. So that's what the Mishnah discusses. Ha'achin Ashutfin, we have brothers who are partners. In other words, they inherited their father, they got an inheritance, so they're considered partners. So Kishchayavim Bekolbein, when they're Chayavim Bekolbein, meaning when they give one full shekel to be used for both their Machza shekels, half is going to be for this brother and half is going to be for that brother. If it's a situation they're going to be Chayav to give a Kolbein, and that would be that they actually divided all their father's Yerusha, they divided the whole inheritance, and then they just decided to rejoin as regular partners. So all their jointly owned properties and chasim and stuff is not because of the inheritance, it's because they just rejoined as partners. In that case, they have to give a kolbein. So in this situation, Pturim Meiser Behema, they're potter for Meiser Behema, because we know that partners who own animals together don't have to give Meiser Behema. And we have the flip side, Kishachayav and Meiser Behema, when they're chayav and Meiser Behema, namely when they're still considered Yarshim, they're still considered to have inherited their father and they didn't divide the Yerusha yet, so now any new animals born are not considered like they're owned by partners, it's really just their father's estate. So they would be chayav and Meiser Behema, turn around kolbein, they're potter from the kolbein, because this money is being considered jointly given and they don't have to give the kolbein. On to the next din, Komakam Shesh Mecher in Knas, Komakam Shesh Knas in Mecher. This has to do with a young girl who we know up until a certain age is allowed to be sold by her father as an Amma Ivriya, as a Jewish maid servant. And we also know at a certain age, if somebody is Ma'anis or Mefat to her, he violates her or seduces her, he has to pay a certain Knas, a certain penalty fine. So that's the Mishnah saying that anytime there is Mecher, that the father is allowed to sell the daughter, which is while she's still a Ketana, before she's 12 years old. So in Knas, if someone's Ma'anis or Mefat to her, he doesn't have to pay Knas, because the Pasuk says that only a Nara, if she's above 12 years old, gets Knas, not a Ketana. And the flip side is also true, if there's Knas, meaning she's a Nara, then Ein Mecher, her father's not allowed to sell her. On to the next din, this also has to do with a young girl in regards to marriage. We know that there's a din of Miyun, which is when a young girl sadly doesn't have a father, we don't want her to be Hefker, we don't want her to just be running around the street and have people take advantage of her. So Midirabanon, her mother or brother, are allowed to marry her off. However, there's a din of Miyun. If she decides, she could just walk out of this marriage and she doesn't even need a get. She could just say, goodbye, I'm leaving. Now, there's also a din called Chalitza, which is when we have two brothers, let's call them Reuven and Shimon, and let's say Reuven dies without children. So Shimon has a mitzvah to marry Reuven's wife, that's called Yibum, and if he doesn't want him for whatever reason, then Chalitza happens, which is the act of severing the bond that they have. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Kol makom sheyesh miyun, anytime the girl is allowed to do miyun, that's while she still is a ketana, before she's 12 years old, so ain't Chalitza. If this was a Chalitza situation, where Reuven died and his wife is falling to Chalitza, but she's under 12, so there's no Chalitza. chalitza. And v'chamakom sheyesh chalitza, if it would be a situation of chalitza that she's over 12, ein miyun. So in that situation, if she was already over 12, she can't do miyun. She can't walk out of a marriage that her mother or brother arranged for her. The Mishnah continues, kol makom sheyesh tkiya, ein havdala. Anytime that there's going to be a shofar blast, there's no havdala. And v'chamakom sheyesh havdala, anytime there's a havdala, ein tkiya, there's no shofar blast. And here the Mishnah itself explains, yomtiv shechalios b'erev Shabbos. When yomtiv falls on erev Shabbos, meaning yomtiv is on Friday and it goes right into Shabbos, taikin v'loy mavdilin. They're going to blow a shofar blast erev Shabbos to let everyone know when they have to stop doing malacha, because on yomtiv certain malachas are allowed as opposed to Shabbos. So they're going to blow a shofar blast to let everyone know that it's almost Shabbos. And over here, there's not going to be havdala in between yomtiv and Shabbos because we're going from a lower to a higher kedusha. So there's no havdala. And b'matzei Shabbos, when yomtiv comes out of matzei Shabbos, mavdilin v'loy taikin, there's havdala and there's no tekiya. And ketzam havdilin, how is havdala done? Matzei Shabbos going into yomtiv, the way that it's said is hamavdo mikodesh lekodesh. One who makes havdala separation between one kodesh and another kodesh, namely Shabbos and yomtiv. We don't say hamavdo mikodesh lechol because yomtiv isn't chol. Now Reb Daisa says it's different. We say ben kodesh chamer lekodesh hakal, the one who's mavdo between a chamer kodesh, which is Shabbos, to a slightly less kodesh, which is yomtiv, and the halacha is not like him because that's a zilzal, that's a degradation to yomtiv to call it a kodesh kal. Therefore, we just say ben kodesh lekodesh. And we go back to discussing proper shechita. The Mishnah says hashoicher echad ba'if u'shnayim bebehema shechitas k'sheira. One who shechts one of the simanim with a bird or two of the simanim with an animal, the shechita is kasher. Really, chatchila, both simanim are supposed to be shechted even on a bird. However, even if he shechted one of them on a bird, it's okay. Now, v'ruba shel echad kamayu, the majority of the siman is considered like shechting the whole thing. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says achi shechetes avridin. It has to be that he shechts, meaning he cuts the vridin, which are the major arteries on the two sides of the trachea, and that way the blood will drain really well. However, we do not paskin like him. The Mishnah continues, chatzi echad ba'if, ve'echad v'chatzi b'mehema, if he shechted half of one on a bird, or one and a half on an animal, shechitas epsula, shechitas pasal. Whereas roiv echad ba'if, roiv shnayim b'mehema, shechitas ekshera, if he shechted the majority of one of the simanim by a bird, and the majority of both simanim by the animal, that shechitas kosher. Moving on to Mishnah Beis, ha'shechet shnei roshan ke'echad, if one shechts two heads like one, in other words, he's a really long shechita knife, and he shechts two animals at the same time, shechitas ekshera, the shechitas kosher. The chesh over here specifically is regarding karbanos, not regular animals. Regular animals, chulin animals, this is perfectly fine, even lechatchila. However, when it comes to karbanos, lechatchila one is not allowed to do this based off of a pasuk. However, the Mishnah is saying that if he did do it, b'diavad it's kosher. The last din is shnai machzim besakin. If two people are holding onto the knife, v'shechtin, and they're shechting together, afilu echad lemalav echad lemata, even if one is below and one is above, meaning one is holding the handle and one is holding the blade, shechitas ksher, the shechitas kosher. And the chiddush over here is regarding one of the psulim of shechita, which is called drasa or hadrasa, which is pressing down. Kosher shechita has to be done in a sawing motion back and forth. The knife slices back and forth, like you cut challah or steak or something like that. You're constantly moving the knife back and forth, not pressing it down. And if the knife is pressed down at all during shechita, so it's pasul. And the chiddush over here is that even though two people are holding onto the knife, and one might think that each one is applying a slightly different amount of pressure, so maybe it's considered like pushing it down, no, we don't have to be chashir for that, and the shechita is kosher. And we continue discussing the psul of drasa or hadrasa, which is pressing down on the simanim during shechita, as opposed to slicing them nicely and cleanly. He presses down on them, and that's how they were cut. So Mishnah tells us, if he chopped off the head of the animal in one shot, psul, it's pasul shechita. That's because that's hadrasa. He pressed down on the simanim instead of slicing them nicely. Now let's say he was shechting, and he cut the head off in one shot, which basically means he cut the simanim all in just one movement. So it's kind of similar to cutting the head off, but he was doing it with a shechita motion. He was moving the knife this way or that way. So it's different than swinging the knife like a sword. Is this kosher or not? It depends. Im yesh basakin malay tzavar, kshera. If the knife has an extra tzavar, an extra neck length to it, it's kosher. We'll explain this in a moment. Here we just have a similar din. He was shechting, and he cut two heads in one shot, meaning he had two animals right next to each other, and he just did one clean slice with the knife, cutting both of their simanim of both animals. Im yesh basakin malay tzavar echad, if the knife has a full extra neck length, kshera, it's kosher. Now we'll explain, what does this mean, a malay tzavar, an extra neck length? So with shechita, the knife, for all intents and purposes, has to be a little bit longer than the neck of the animal, and that way you can move it back and forth on the animal and it's fine. Now the way this shechita that we're talking about over here is kosher is that he just did one motion. He either pushed it away from himself or he pulled it towards himself. That's a halacha or a hava, pushing it out or pulling it in, and he just did one of those, either out or in, and that's okay as long as the knife is double the length of an animal's neck. So that way it's like he did a halacha and a hava. It's like he did it back and forth. He just didn't need to actually physically do it back and forth because the knife itself was double the length of the animal's neck, and that's perfectly fine. Now the Mishnah continues clarifying, as we just said, but Medvarim, when is this stated, Bismachah
That's if he pushed the knife away towards himself and did not bring it back, or he brought it towards himself and didn't push it forward. And that way it has to be double the length of the neck. If he did a regular classic sawing motion with the knife, even if the knife is very small, even if it's the size of a tiny little razor, it's kosher, because that is the regular motion of shechita back and forth. Now we have a different din. Let's say the knife fell and it shechted that way. Maybe it's at the edge of the table and someone shook the table, the knife fell down, it went perfectly downwards, slicing the animal's neck, and it was a perfect shechita. Even though shechted like regular, psula, it's still possible. Shnei Mekor pasuk says, you shall shecht, you shall eat. What do we learn from here? That which you shecht, you could eat, but if you didn't shecht, it shechted by itself, you can't eat it. Now we move on to another psula of shechita, which is called shehiya, waiting. The shechet's not to stop in the middle of shechita, hang on for a little bit, and then continue shechting. That's called shehiya. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Nafla sakin vigbiya. In the middle of shechita, the knife fell down, and he picked it up and continued shechting. Or naflu kela vigbiyan. His kela, meaning his clothing, fell off a little bit. Maybe he was wearing a shawl, and it slipped off his shoulders, so he adjusted it and then continued shechting. Or another example is hishchad sakin va'af. He was sharpening the knife before shechita. He got tired, and in the middle of shechita, he was just too exhausted to continue. Ubachaver v'shachat. So his friend came and picked up where he left off and continued the shechita. Here's the rule: imsha kadei shechita psula. If the amount of time that was waited was the amount of time that one can actually shech this animal in, so it's pasul. If not, if it was shorter than that, so it's kosher and it's not shehiya. Or Rav Shimon says imsha kadei bikur. If it takes the amount of time to check the knife to see if it's fine, then that's already too long of a wait. If not, then it's okay. Moving on to Mishnah Dalet, we're discussing another psul, which is called ikur. Ikur literally means la'akor, to uproot. So this is basically when the simen of the animal is ripped or torn, as opposed to being sliced cleanly with a knife. This psul is most often found when the shechita knife has a pegima. It has a little nick in it that's like a mini serration, if you will, and that, instead of cutting the simen, it tears it or rips it, so that's a psul. As now we talk about this, Mishnah tells us, shachnas aveshet, yishachli the veshet, everything was fine. Upasak es hagargares. But then he went to the gargares, that's the other simen, and he tore it. Oh, alternatively, the other way around. Shachnas hagargares, yishachli the gargares, upasak es aveshet, and he tore or ripped the veshet, so that's ikur. Oh, alternatively, yishachat echad mehen, yishachted one of them, vehimtin la'ad shemesa, and he just waited till the animal died. Oh, here we have another psul, which is called chalada. That's basically when the knife is hidden inside the animal or it's covered over. That's also psul. So that's what Mishnah tells us. Shehechled es hasakin tachas hasheni upsakai. He hid the knife or covered over the knife underneath the second simen after he cut the first one, and then he cut it from underneath. So Rabbi Sheva of Eimer Nevela, Rabbi Sheva says it's Nevela. Or Rabbi Kiva Eimer Trefa, Rabbi Kiva says it's a Trefa. What's the difference between Nevela and Trefa? They're both non-kosher and can't be eaten. So Nevela is Tame to the extent that it's Metame B'masa, which means even if a person doesn't touch it and he just carries a piece of it on a plate, that's called Masa. He's carrying it even though he's not touching it. That's still Metame. So it's a very high level of Tome. Or Rabbi Kiva just says it's not kosher, it's a Trefa, but it's not the level of Nevela. And where does this come from? So Klal Amar Rabbi Sheva Mishum Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Sheva says a rule in the name of Rabbi Shua. Kol shenifsla b'shchitasa nevela. Anything that became pasul by way of shchita, it was an improper shchita, it's nevela. Whereas kol shchitasa karoy v'davar acher garmala l'pasel. Anything that shchita was fine, it was perfectly okay, and something else caused it to be pasul, trefa, so then it's a trefa. And actually, v'haydol Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva agreed to him and backtracked from his original argument. We're gonna stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Hey. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.